The next big thing can come from anyone, anywhere, at any time. It doesn't take a well-funded think tank. It doesn't have to come from a research lab. All it takes is a dream and the passion to pursue it.
This is a solution that could be life-changing, correct?
Could be life-saving.
Whether it's to change a life or the entire world, or maybe just to make someone smile, students from universities across the globe have teamed up to build their dreams from idea to reality.
We want to create a world of accessible digital content for anyone, including blind and visually impaired people.
They've converged at Microsoft headquarters to challenge all comers in a race to reach new heights, motivated by endless possibilities and more than $725,000 in cash and prizes.
I just want to call out how awesome it is that we have a female on every one of these teams up here. I think that's amazing.
After months of work and a mountain of competition, only three teams remain, and they're ready to put their idea to the test in front of their fellow contenders and viewers around the world.
Guys, congratulations, well done. You're a finalist.
This is about bringing the next big idea to life. It's about coding for purpose and landing the coveted title of world champion. Dream it, build it, live it.
Welcome to the Imagine Cup. Imagine Cup World Championships. I am your host, Kate Yeager, and we are coming to you live from Seattle for the 16th annual edition of Microsoft's Marquee Innovation Competition for Students. You can applaud again. That's the one. Dream it, build it, live it. That is the motto that echoes throughout the Imagine Cup journey for these student teams. They brought their dreams to life, building with cutting-edge technology, and now they're gathered here in Cloud City, home of Microsoft and Amazon, to show you how the future will come to life. But this is actually the last stop of what's been quite the road for these young developers. Our final three teams of students began their journey at the same time as tens of thousands of their peers from nearly 200 countries. That, my friends, is some serious competition, and it should be. With almost $750,000 in cash and prizes at stake, plus a mentoring session with CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, included in the grand prize, winning the Imagine Cup could truly put a project on the map. And of course, it is an amazing bundle of prizes. It also goes well with the glory that comes with winning this championship. Before we get ahead of ourselves, though, I'd like to introduce someone who has his finger on the pulse of cloud computing. He holds multiple patents and was the creator of a key part of our cloud services, Microsoft Azure. Fun fact, he also played keyboard and sang in the band Outlet. Ask him about it later. Please join me in welcoming my co-host for today, the Corporate Vice President of Azure Compute at Microsoft, Corey Sanders!
Thank you so much, Kate. And to everyone here and all of you watching online, thank you so much for joining us for the 2018 Imagine Cup. I'm simply honored to be your host and a small part of this 16-year tradition. At Microsoft, our mission is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. Imagine Cup is about celebrating technology achievement and pushing the limits of what's possible. Each of you represents our future as a community of technologists, aspiring student entrepreneurs and engineers, and we play but one small chapter in your emerging careers. The promise of the cloud, limitless compute, adaptability, access for all, it is a creative toolbox that only amplifies your capabilities. In fact, LinkedIn's 2018 survey of the most promising job skills ranked cloud and distributed computing as number one. So you have confidence that the hard work that you've all put in to the Imagine Cup will take you very far. This year, more than ever, we're seeing a lot of innovation in three specific areas: artificial intelligence, big data, and mixed reality. We believe that these collectively represent an opportunity to augment humanity, not replace it, to build a world where technology is accessible for all. It's our responsibility together to use technology to solve some of the world's toughest problems, create new opportunities, and share in our talents. Thousands of teams competed this year with the dream of making it onto this very stage. And all of you should take great pride in the accomplishment of making it this far. You represent leaders in your respective countries and universities. Keep working hard and keep working towards those dreams. And maybe we'll see you on this stage next year. Students and competitors, please give yourself a round of applause because you all deserve it. All right.
All right.
It's time to meet our finalists, right, Kate?
That's indeed correct, Corey. First up, this team comes our way from Canada. Let's take a look at the journey they made to get here today.
From Canada, Team Smart Arm.
I'm Samin.
I'm Hamile.
And we're Team Smart Arm.
The most exciting part is getting to meet all these other teams from around the world and seeing what kind of problems they've taken on.
I feel a lot of pride bringing this back home to Canada.
We have all these people that are following our journey and sending their best wishes. It means a lot to show them that we've come this far and we achieved what we set out to do. It's been really exciting and motivating to pursue our goal.
Dream it, build it, live it.
Quite a trip to be sure, guys. Please welcome Team Smart Arm to the stage. Next team hails from Greece. They put in work in the deep learning field as they made their way into the final three. Let's take a look at their road to the championship.
From Greece, Team iCryTotalk.
I am Anastasia.
I'm Andreas.
I'm Jason.
And we are Team iCryTotalk.
When we heard about Imagine Camp competition, it was like a no-brainer for us to form a team and participate. Participating in the finals is a huge step for us because it is a reward for the hard work that we put in all those months. We'll have the opportunity to have a global impact.
We're very pumped, very excited, and we can't wait to compete in the finals.
Dream it.
Build it. Live it.
A lot of lines of code were logged to get here today. Guys, please give it up for Team iCryTotalk.
All right.
Two down, one to go, Core.
All right, yeah, one more team to reveal for this year's World Championship. And this group of students joins us all the way from Japan. Let's learn a little bit about how they got here.
From Japan, we have Team Mediated Ear.
There you go.
I'm Ken.
I'm Kunichiko.
We are Team Mediated Ear.
We developed Mediated Ear to help people with hearing disabilities. Kunichiko's friend, Natsuko, suffers from hearing disability. Using Mediated Ear, they can hear what they want to hear.
I'm really excited. I believe we will win Imagine Camp.
Please join me in welcoming Team Mediated Ear! Wow.
Okay, man.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. Let's do one more round of applause for all three finalists. Okay, teams, why don't you go ahead, go backstage, and get ready. Competition is coming.
All right. Exactly. Now that we know who's competing for this year's title, Kate, tell us about who will be in charge of deciding the winner of the Imagine Cup World Champion.
Boy, am I glad you asked. Now, these teams have already impressed Corey and me, but obviously our opinions don't decide this year's champion.
They don't matter.
They didn't ask us at all.
No.
Now, in order to hoist the trophy behind us high into the sky and take home the huge grand prize, our finalists must win over some highly qualified tech veterans. Let's meet our judges.
She's known for finding, building, and mentoring aspiring business and technology teams around the globe. An angel investor with a focus on funding amazing women founding extraordinary companies, Erica Brescher is the co-founder and chief operating officer of Bitnami. Cutting his entrepreneurial and technological teeth at several startups and writing about it all along the way, Anil Dash has made a name for himself as an entrepreneur, writer, and activist for humane and ethical tech. Living in and loving New York City, today Anil serves as the chief executive officer of Glitch. And Peggy Johnson spent over two decades breaking barriers at two of the largest companies in the world. Voted the most powerful female engineer of 2017 by Business Insider, Peggy has taken her considerable technical expertise and merged it with business savvy to to become Microsoft's chief dealmaker.
Well, those are quite the credentials, indeed, my friends. Here are judges for the World Championship.
Unbelievable.
And of course, right here we've got Erica Brescia from Bitnami. Now, Erica, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Okay, so Erica, you're no stranger to working with teams across the globe. Why should developers look outside of their own inner circles so they can partner with people that are outside those circles for new development projects?
I don't think you have to look any further than the contestants here to see how much fantastic talent there is around the world. And by building a diverse team, both geographically, culturally, and otherwise, you're going to get better ideas and build a better product.
Wow. Amen.
Absolutely.
Love it. That's it.
Next up, Anil Dash. Thank you so much for trekking across the country to be here with us today.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. You know, you've been a part of the community and the industry for almost two decades now. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing that young developers should consider as they work through their projects and build their experiences.
Well, obviously we see technologies like whether it's the blockchain or machine learning that are become really popular and lots of people are making good use of. But even just some of the fundamentals about how people work together, collaborate, those are as exciting a breakthrough or innovation for people coming up with new ideas.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Very insightful.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you, Anil.
Thank you.
There it is. And last, but certainly not least, Peggy Johnson, thank you so much for being on our stage today.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here today.
So let me ask you, what are some key things that you look for when someone's pitching you a new idea, a new innovation? We're talking tech, concept. What are the things you're tuned in for most?
Well, all of those things, but for me, it really starts and ends with the customer. Are you solving a problem for them, something they're challenged with, giving them cycles back in their day, making them more productive? Those are the sorts of things that resonate with me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Peggy. Thank you. A big round of applause.
Thank you, Peggy.
They have their work cut out for them, picking a winner from these finalists, but I know you are all up to the challenge, and I'm very excited to see what you think. How about one more quick round of applause for our judges as they make their way to the best seats in the house?
You know they're the best seats because their names
are
on them.
That's how that works.
How you know.
I've heard that.
I'm waiting for my seat.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am ready to have my mind blown. Now, before we get to the presentations, though, let's take a quick look at how the World Championship works. As you know, we've got three finalist teams vying for the title today. Each team will have 3 minutes to pitch their ideas to our panel of judges. After that, each judge will be able to ask a question to the teams for clarification. At the end, the judges will decide who takes home the Imagine Cup by voting based on the project's use of technology, innovation, feasibility, and concept. So Corey had the chance to meet with each of these teams in preparation for today's big event, and he recorded a little preview of each team's project. First up, SmartArm. Here is what to watch for.
SmartArm is so cool because it empowers individuals who have the need for prosthetics to be able to control and grab things in a much more functional way. It does this by using computer vision on the hand.
We're using machine learning to distinguish between the different grips.
This is really powerful because it's deciding exactly how to pick up the object and use the hand accordingly.
It's awesome, guys. I mean, it's really, really cool. A couple things that...
I'm really excited about the future direction of this team as they look to using IoT Edge as part of the solution on the arm.
Good, guys.
Thank you.
It's gonna be good, yeah.
Okay, guys, practice is over. It's time to get your pitch on. That's not weird. Are you guys ready? SmartArm,
yes.
You ready? You got 3 minutes to wow these guys. Your time begins now.
It's too often the case that we take for granted those things in our lives that we are so used to possessing on the daily. If you just take, for instance, your hands and your arms, you don't often realize just how pervasive they are to your physical, everyday interactivity with the world. Now, just try to take a moment to imagine what it would be like to be missing an arm or a hand and interact with the world. It's impossible to even imagine what that would be like. However, if you have the chance to talk to an amputee, you'll get just a brief glimpse into what that perspective is like. And so we talked to Annalisa. She's a friend from back home in Toronto, and she's a congenital amputee. She gave us a bit of an outlook of how she approaches her problem solving while dealing with limb loss. So she gave us an outlook on the prosthetics industry and gave us a real big problem that's going on. So on one hand, you're gonna have these cosmetic prosthetics that don't have any functionality but are really there just for show. On the other hand, you're gonna have these really expensive robotic bionic arms. And so it's not really available to most of the population. And so we think we found a perfect solution for this, and that's SmartArm.
So over the past couple of months, we've been meticulously engineering a solution. And in doing so, we've leveraged several Microsoft Azure technologies, computer vision, machine learning, and cloud computing. Let me show you how it works. So it all starts right here in the palm of the hand with the camera. Now, let's say I want to pick up these keys, for example. No problem. I take the camera, and I make sure that it's pointing towards the keys so that it can see the keys. Now, there's an onboard computer which processes this image and identifies the object and figures out the most appropriate grip to pick up the keys with. So let's give it a try. So it's seeing the keys. All right. And now, when I'm ready, you'll notice that it doesn't activate the grip right away. This is because the moment you see an object isn't necessarily the moment you want to interact with it. So it's actually waiting for a cue from this muscle sensor I'm wearing right over here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into place. Okay. And we're just going to turn on the power. Right, I think.
Keep going.
Okay, so we'll come back to that. It seems like we're having some difficulties. No problem. But today, not only are we introducing a new product, but for the very first time in prosthetics industry, we're introducing a new service. You see, SmartArm learns the exact way in which you operate it, so that when you get a new device, you can upload the data from the old one and download it right back onto the new one. Now, I want to talk to you about some numbers. With 11 million hand amputees in the world and 1 million of those having prosthetics, we really want to change. We want to close this gap. And with our price point, we can totally do this. Now, before we leave you today, I want to show you Annalisa operating our device for the very first time. With SmartArm, we hope to bring this exact joy to all amputees around the world. Thank you.
Really nice job, SmartArm. Really, really cool. How about an additional round of applause for these guys? Now, each of our judges will get the chance to ask Team SmartArm a single question. Anil, we'll start with you.
Sure. The way you're using vision in the cloud to solve this problem, is this the way this device can work when it's unplugged or you don't have connectivity? Is that something you thought about?
Yeah. So one thing that we're leveraging is IoT's edge services for Azure. Because obviously, when you're using the prosthetic arm, you don't want it to stop functioning the moment you kind of step out of the internet. So what we'd basically be doing is it would kind of be working on like an updating sort of way. So when you get internet access, you'd be able to re-download what the database is looking like. And the model would kind of continuously be updated whenever you get the chance. And so it would continuously improve every time you get access to the internet, and you'd be able to use it offline.
Great.
Yeah. Erica, your turn for a question.
I understand that you preserve the data for each individual user of the arm so they can translate it to a new one, which is fantastic. I'm curious, do you also combine that data across users to make the product better? And if so, how quickly will it take you to have enough data to make the product actually better and more functional out of the gate for new users?
Right, good question. So what we're doing here with these, with the data that we're collecting is that we would be distributing it across the different peers, so across the different devices on the network, so that everyone can leverage the abundance of the data. And then additionally, what we're trying to do is we're trying to really make the process as efficient as possible. So it actually turns out that the grips you interact with everyday objects with, there's about four main ones, and most of the things you interact with can actually fit into those four categories. For example, like a tripod grip. So if there is an object, let's say, that you come across that you're not, that the camera doesn't know what to do with, it will actually try and idealize the 3D shape of the object and apply the most appropriate grip using machine learning to see which one would be the best case scenario.
Cool.
Excellent. And Peggy, what question do you have for our first presenters?
You know, I'm interested in your business model. You said you'll have a service set up. How is that going to work? And for instance, if it's a child who's growing, does it include new prosthetics along the way as they get larger?
Right. So this was actually a fundamental problem that we came across while we were coming up with our solution, because current prosthetics, with the high cost of them, you're not really able, especially for a child, to afford these very highly functional prosthetics, because you're going to grow and you're going to need the arm to grow with them, right? But so we wanted to overcome this, and we really wanted to develop a product that someone could use over a lifetime. So what we've done with the very low cost is you're able to buy prosthetics over and over as you grow so that you can like use it from a very young age, and the way you learn how to use it carries on with you. Because as it turns out with prosthetics, like any muscle, there's a learning curve at the beginning, right? So once that develops, we really want the user to carry that on with them for the rest of their life.
And in terms of the business model, so basically the arms costs are really inexpensive. And what we'd be leveraging is there's a lot of NGOs that actually pull money a lot of time from the government towards these congregations such as WarAmps, which is the one that Annalisa is part of. And basically we could get them to subsidize those costs for us. And how it would work, there would just be that monthly subscription. It would be that kind of a business model with that would be paired with other services.
Thank you.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Smart Arm. Not a bad way to start the championship. Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Ooh. Okay. Wow. Let's keep this party moving, shall we? Hailing from Greece, our second presentation of the day comes from Team I Cry to Talk. Mm. Here's a preview of their project.
I Cry to Talk solves a problem that many of us have experienced, which is, what do I do when my baby's crying? I'm really impressed with the way in which they have solved this. They've used a lot of cool technologies. They've used machine learning, they've used virtual machines to scale out this analysis, and they use Cosmos DB for their back-end storage. I'm really impressed with how hard of a problem they've made look simple with their application.
The real pitch that resonates with me is you're doing something that really helps people's lives.
I Cry to Talk is a super cool technology, and I really wish them good luck today.
All the way from Greece to the Emerald City, Team I Cry for Talk. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, now is the time to show these judges what you got. 3 minutes on the clock. Your time begins now.
Hello, we're Team I Cry to Talk from Greece. I'm Jason.
I'm Andreas.
I'm Anastasia. Our mentor is Leodios, and this is Emma.
Emma is in pain. You should treat Emma gently and with care.
This is the reality of millions of parents all around the world as babies cry to express their needs. Letting your baby cry it out can affect negatively its physiology, as the prompt response to its cry is essential for the infant's healthy development. Nevertheless, parents report that recognizing their baby's needs is one of the greatest challenges they have to face. We believe that the communication gap between infants and parents has to be addressed, and that's why we created I Cry to Talk. I Cry to Talk is a real-time baby cry translator to image, voice, text, and sign language. The parent records the cry, which is securely uploaded on Azure Cloud. We use a cry detection system to identify if the sound recorded is indeed a cry. Then we extract some features to be used as input for our machine learning and deep learning classification algorithms. Within a few seconds, the result of the translation is on the screen of the user's phone. Our system supports the inclusion of behavioral data for a personalized approach. Our deep learning models mimic the process occurring within the parent's brain as it gets trained to recognize their baby's needs in a hierarchy of layers. Our system's credibility is relied on 4 pillars. The in-the-clinic data, the verified in-the-wild data, the evaluated labels given by inexperienced parents, and our advanced robust algorithms. But I Cry to Talk is more than just an app. It's a holistic system based on inclusivity, as we support cry translation using sign language for hearing impaired parents. Accessibility, as we have the digital assistance implementation, as you can see on this video.
Why is Theodos crying?
Celios is feeling sleepy. Should I play his favorite lullaby?
No, it's okay.
Engagement, as currently more than 200 parents all around the world are donating their cries. We are also in collaboration with various hospitals and clinics. And lastly, personalization, with inclusion of behavioral metadata.
Microsoft Azure Cloud is the center of our project implementation. Guided by the SWOT analysis, iCryoTalk provides a holistic approach with a variety of services compared to our few competitors. With 92% on the 3 class and almost 90% on the 5 class, we expect higher performance as data gets bigger. Imagine that 4 babies are born per second with high impact on the relevant market. We plan to enter this market covering all business aspects towards our ambition to create a new Azure cognitive service for BabyCry.
This enables us to even envision iCryoTalk as a diagnostic tool for newborn pathologies such as autism. iCryoTalk is committed in working to understand those who matter the most. Thank you.
Unbelievable. Wonderful. Really nice. Let's give it up one more time for iCryoTalk. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, another round of questions. Erica, let's start with you this time.
Sure. So as a parent, I can completely relate to this problem. My question for you is really around the competition. And you touched on it briefly, but I don't really understand. How are you different from ChatterBaby and some of the other solutions out there trying to solve this problem?
So our comparative analysis shows in numbers that we outperform our biggest competitor, and it is the one that you mentioned, in pain, hungry, and the cry detection category. Now, we tested their application in our own verified database, and you can see that we outperform in the pain and the hungry category, and we even detect the cry. We can understand whether the sound is a cry or not.
Ah, okay.
Excellent. Peggy.
Let's see. I think I'm going to have the same question about business model. Babies are only babies for a short period of time. How do you, what's your go-to-market, the channel that you'll come in from, and how are you charging for the service?
So actually, we cover all business aspects. Regarding the business-to-customer segment, we offer the free full version of our app with the availability to upgrade to the premium with more features like personalized and scheduled prediction, as well as no advertisement and targeted deals. Now, the free full version includes all the states of cry recognition. So the free full version has all the functionality of our app. Now, moving to the B2B and B2G services, we offer the availability of the iCryoTalk API and the software as a service model to be used to hospitals, clinics, and baby care facilities. We are also in collaboration with baby product and insurance companies for a potential partnership. And we are currently discussing a partnership with the biggest baby care product company.
Great. And Anil, what would you like to ask the team?
Well, the first question I had was, do you have this for adults? But I'll put that one aside. I was curious about how do you see getting this product in front of the sort of the parents that are most in need, right? That might not be looking at early adopters of new technology, but saying this is something they could use a lot and might not be reached by the traditional ways of putting an app out.
So this started with how we built our community, actually. So we need our community because they're not only our customers, but they're the ones that provide the cry samples for our database. So we've thought that by engaging the parents with the whole process and how they can also benefit for the cause, we can help them understand what kind of impact they can make. And when we started talking with the parents, we saw their enthusiasm, because especially parents that are on their first child, on the first months, they are petrified and very stressed on how to respond and cater better their baby's needs. And we come here with a solution that is very easy to use, that is inclusive for all parents, whether they have some sort of disability, they're hearing impaired, whether they need easier activation with our digital assistants, and they seem to love the product and think that it is very useful for their daily life.
There it is. Awesome. Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you, judges.
Thank you, judges.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Team iCryoTalk. Woo! Thank you, guys. And just like that, we are down to our final pitch of the event. Mm-hmm. But before they can take the stage, I should say, here is what you learned about their project.
That's awesome. That's super cool. I really, really like it. I think it's a good presentation. That video is, I think, really impactful. Mediated Ear offered a really cool technology that took what it was hearing and was able to get the voices and remove the background noise to make people with hearing disabilities able to hear much more cleanly.
The entire solution right now is just on the phone.
Yes, true.
The technology it used was really, really awesome. I love how they're learning on the fly by combining machine learning, Databricks, and batch AI in the background to spin this up, learn, and help the person hear in that noisy environment.
And there you have it. It's time for our final team of the event, Mediated Ear. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
That was sure. Okay. You got 3 minutes, three judges. Now is your time to shine. Your time begins now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ken from Mediated Ear.
I'm Kunihiko.
Kunihiko's friend, Natsuko, suffers from hearing loss. A common misconception is that all people with hearing loss can't hear anything. But actually, many of them struggle to focus on specific sounds of voices. This is also true for Natsuko, but it's not just hard. It's a global issue. According to WHO, around 465 million people worldwide suffer from hearing disabilities. Here is our solution to this problem. Mediated Ear. Hear what you want to hear. I would like to show a video how it works.
For people with hearing impairments, it's rather difficult to pick out the conversation from the ambient environment. Mediated Ear provides an elegant solution to this challenge. Mediated Ear works on any smartphone using deep learning. Mediated Ear can isolate any voices from a mixed audio source.
That is fine. I like it because I can edit my small source files in my quad core machine without needing to wait forever for the file to open. How about you?
Options are countless. Sublime's entry level is very low, comparing to Simple Vim. It might not instantly give you everything they do, but it will provide you with the basics and your visual needs.
Mediated Ear has the ability to provide opportunities to reach out to everyone. Mediated Ear, hear what you want to hear.
So that's how it works, but let me tell you a little more. Mediated Ear has three main features. First, it's highly robust. Using deep learning, it can extract any voice from a mixed audio source containing various noises and sounds. Secondly, it's very fast. It takes just 0.06 seconds to process 1 second of audio. This enables users to communicate in real time. Finally, it's affordable. There is no expensive equipment involved. All you need is a smartphone and a pair of earphones. Since we use Azure, running cost is minimal. Furthermore, Mediated Ear only needs the target person speaking for 1 minute. Just read a few short sentences. When we ask Natsuko for feedback, she loves it. We want everyone to hear what they want to hear, and Microsoft empowers us to make this happen. Thank you.
Awesome. Fantastic, guys. Let's hear it one more time for Mediated Ear. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Judges, same drill. Peggy, we'll start with you this time.
So I'm interested in the 1 minute of sampling that you need. So does that mean that it'll only work for those I've sampled then? What if I'm sitting down with a new crowd of people? How do you handle that? Do I have to wait 1 minute to gather sampling on each one?
Yes. Training takes 30 minutes, actually. And once the training is done, you can extract the target voice.
I see. But so if it's a new person, it'll take up that period of time before.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So,
and we are considering a feature where they can send a link to Facebook friends, and via that link, they can register their voice beforehand.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's a
good idea.
Thank you.
Great. Anil, what would you like to ask the team?
A similarly related question. Once somebody's trained, are they trained for everybody that uses Mediated Ear? Is that something where if I've got multiple friends that are using the app, they're all going to know it?
Yes, we are considering that to share their deep neural network model to everyone. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. And Erica, finally, last question.
since Peggy didn't ask, I will. How's the business model work for this? And also, is it something where you might be able to get subsidies from insurance companies, for example?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are considering two options. One is the subscription model, where users pay monthly fee, about $10 per person. And the second one is license our technology to hardware company, and it incorporate with the hearing aid device.
Okay.
Very right. Cool.
One more round of applause to Mediated Ear.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Excellent.
Thanks,
well
guys.
Done, guys. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Okay. No more questions.
Sit.
No more presentations. It's time to decide which of these three amazing teams will be crowned the Imagine Cup World Champion. Judges, please head backstage. Woo, yeah.
All right, let's hear it for our judges.
Now, while they decide the fate of our finalists, I understand we got a special guest in the house there, Cor.
That's right, Kate. Obviously, there is a lot on the line for these three final teams. There's the immediate glory, of course, of holding the Imagine Cup up high, which they would not let me touch.
Nope.
Plus, a big package of cash and Azure compute time to be able to take these projects to the next level. But then there's this. A chance to get a personal advice session on their project from the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella. Satya is a huge proponent of the Imagine Cup, which is all about empowering young innovators. But you don't have to take my word for it, nor should you. Please welcome Satya Nadella.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's fantastic to be here at Imagine Cup. It's one of my favorite events of the year to come have a chance, see the young developers from all over the world. Their high ambition is really an inspiration that it gives me a whole bunch of energy. I was just watching all of the finalists backstage, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this is like pretty amazing stuff to see. There are 49 teams from 33 countries just in the finals. I mean, that's just, in some sense, really tells us that tech is widespread all around the world, and the ambition to do amazing things with technology is increasingly being democratized. And that's what really is fantastic, because think about it. We, in 2018, are living in an age where everything around us, every part of our society, in every country, across every industry, is being changed because of digital technology. And so the impact that you all can have is just enormous. The opportunity is enormous. But I also believe that there is an amazing sense of responsibility or a need for responsibility that we all have to collectively exercise given the opportunity that we have been given. The impact that we're going to have is based on the choices that you as developers are making. And in fact, we got to see a glimpse of it, right? Some of the deep learning that all the three finalists were using to essentially synthesize knowledge and augment human capabilities was a choice. That was made in terms of how we can, in fact, help people, the health outcomes, education outcomes, small businesses around the world, which are the lifeblood of our economies, can become more productive. How can public sector and public services become more efficient? Thinking of the broader society and the broader economy and the impact of digital technology is what really you all are showing us the way, and it's fantastic to see this. You know, one of the things that I always think about is this competition, in some sense, ups the game, right? People from all over the world are thinking about how do I use technology, how do I learn new concepts, but then more importantly, how do I solve some of these unmet, unarticulated needs of customers, get to the finals and win. But in some sense, everyone who is here is a winner, right? There's no question that you are already all on the top of the game. Now, last night I was thinking, what advice can I give people who have accomplished so much at such a young age? And I said, I should go back to when I was your age and doing great things. And then I realized I definitely wouldn't have made this finals. And so I said, God, this is a problem. So what advice can I give you when I clearly was not capable of getting here? So then I said, okay, let me go find someone who actually all of us can learn from. Let's roll the video.
The first time she snapped her boots into snowboard bindings was at the age of 4, and she never looked back. Rocketing to stardom faster than a black diamond run, she has spun and soared over every obstacle along the way. Never letting her age block her ascent, she recently flashed her now famous smile from the podium in Pyeongchang as she became the youngest to ever win gold in the women's halfpipe at the 2018 Winter Olympics. That's just another in the long list of firsts, which now includes an appearance at the 2018 Imagine Cup. Please welcome Chloe Kim.
Hello.
So as I was saying to the audience, Chloe, you've accomplished a lot, but give us a little bit of a rundown on sort of the journey. You've gone to the very top by going downhill. So how did all this start?
I started when I was 4, so I was literally a baby. And my dad and I kind of just shared this passion, and he took me snowboarding, and I just fell in love with it. And here I am.
That's pretty awesome. I'm sure none of these journeys are just obstacle-free. There would have been challenges. What are some of those challenges, and how did you overcome them?
Oof. Well, I think my biggest challenge, obviously, is like always injury. Because for us, we can't do anything if we're injured. So we'd have to like take time off, recover, and then try to get back into the game and like stay on top of it and like stay on the same level as all of your other competitors. I think when I was 15, I partially tore my ACL, so I didn't need surgery, but I still couldn't ride for like 5 months, and I had to go to the gym. And I never went to the gym, right? I was like, I'm young, like I don't need to go to the gym. I could go to Taco Bell every day, like it's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine. That wasn't the case, don't do that. So I was in physical rehab, and I think from what I've learned is every time you have to take a step back and like you have to regroup, it's always a learning lesson. It's like, if I didn't have that injury, I probably wouldn't have realized how important like staying fit was for my sport, because I was like, I started snowboarding because it was fun. Like I didn't sign up to go to the gym when I wasn't snowboarding, you know, like that wasn't the plan. But I had to take that, that time off, and I had to miss a couple camps. But the season after that, when I came back, I rode the best I ever had.
Pretty awesome. It's that mental strength.
Exactly. And it's like, it was just, if I didn't go through that injury, I wouldn't have learned. And I probably would have had a more serious injury that could have been really bad. So
that's pretty awesome.
That's what I've learned, yeah.
So now you're at the top of the game. You're in a cereal box. You're like everywhere. You're here at Imagine Cup. And you're amongst all these winners too. So I was wondering, now that you're at the top, but the expectations go up. And so how do you continue to push yourself?
You know you've made it once you're on a cereal box.
We'll put you all on a cereal box.
So much has happened. I did not think I would have, won the Olympics at 17 years old and like gone through all of that, like dealt with fame, and like nowadays with Instagram, you're like, oh my gosh, I have like all these followers, like wow, amazing. But there were a lot of like obstacles that I had to overcome, and it wasn't even just in snowboarding, like emotionally, mentally, like physically, there was always a challenge, but I think it just made me a stronger person.
But you set new goals and you
exactly.
keep going.
Exactly, yeah, you just keep going, because I had that one goal at the end and I was like, I'm gonna make that happen. And I did.
Awesome.
And it would be no fun if there were no obstacles. Like what fun would it be if everything was all easy? Like you need to overcome things and you need to prove to yourself that you're a hard worker. And to me, I just always worked hard, never gave up, and it paid off in the end.
So anything you learned from outside snowboarding that actually was a big influence in how you performed?
Probably patience.
There you go.
Like, when I'm learning a new trick, it is so frustrating.
I'm still trying to learn that, but it's, you know.
No, but it's like, I mean, I'm still really impatient. Like, if I have to wait more than 30 minutes for my food, I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, I gotta go. But I think, like, just being a snowboarder, like, learning things, like, learning tricks, like, pushing your body, and, like, sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to, but patience. And that's something that I've taken into real life, although I will still get frustrated sometimes if, like, my car isn't coming or, like, something like that is happening. I feel like all of us do. But I think it just made me a better person, honestly. Like, snowboarding, it's helped my life improve.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now to that final question, the thing that really, in the first place, you know, brought you here, or at least caused me to have you here, which is, what advice would you have to these other champions in the room?
Well, you know, I was, like, looking at this, and I was like, what am I supposed to tell all this room full of people that are so smart and are coming up with these amazing things and helping the world?
Amazing
just, like,
stuff? We both were watching backstage. Let's give you a round of applause.
Yeah, honestly. Like, you guys are amazing. I hope you know that. But honestly, I just say, like, keep working hard, because the worst thing you can do is just, like, take a step back and relax. But just work hard, like, do everything you can to achieve your goal, because honestly, as long as you put your mind to it, anything is possible. Like, anything is possible. I've done some things where I was like, there's no way I could do this. But then I put my mind to it, I worked for it, and it happened, like winning the Olympics. I didn't think that was going to happen, but it did. And I think if I didn't have the support, if I didn't work hard, like if I just lost sight of what I wanted, then it wouldn't have happened. So
that's awesome. Thank you so much, Chloe, and congratulations to all of you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Nicely done, Tess. You good? You good?
Thank you, Chloe and Satya, for being here with us today.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Hey, not sure if you know this, Corey, but actually, Chloe just won the ESPY for Female Athlete of the Year last week. Pretty sure she's having a very good year.
Right? Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Wow.
Speaking of someone having a good year, now is the time to find out who takes home the title of the 2018 Imagine Cup World Champions. Please, let's welcome back our judges. Woo!
Hard work.
I'll tell you, I cannot imagine trying to pick a winner from these amazing teams.
You know, it's kind of like picking a favorite child, which luckily for me, my parents didn't have any problem with. But I digress.
So that's awkward. Erica, please, no spoilers, but tell us a little bit about what impressed you the most today.
You know, I didn't see the final projects until last night, and I am just absolutely blown away with what they've built and what they've accomplished. And I see real businesses here, and I truly hope that they all continue to pursue them, because they will change the world.
Excellent. Anil, how about you? What are the big takeaways today?
One of the things I loved is they were solving real problems that matter to people. This wasn't tech for tech's sake. This was about caring about what's the impact they can have. That's actually going to make a difference, and I just loved seeing that from every single project.
Absolutely, yeah. Peggy, what impressed you the most?
The tech actually was amazing, and their use of it in each of the cases to solve those challenges impressed me so much, and that they'd thought about so many different variables in the problem they were trying to solve, so that just blew me away.
Awesome. Agreed. Well, all that time and effort that these teams put into those projects, well, it all comes down to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, come on back out and join us. Let's give them all a round of applause. Corey, here is the first envelope.
Oh, well, thank you. Whew. All right. Time now to announce third place from today's competition. Can we please have a drum roll? From everyone, please. Coming in third place out of 3,000 teams entered here, hailing from Japan, Mediated Ear. Woo! Team Media Nadir. Thank you so much for being a part of this year's Imagine Cup. Congratulations on making it this far, and keep working on your project.
Which will be a little easier now because you each get a Surface laptop.
All right.
Now, third place also gets $30,000 in Azure grants to continue building their idea. So well done, you guys. One more round of applause for our third place winners.
Let's get it ready.
And then, Corey, there were two. And guys, no matter who is crowned champion, you're all winners, like legit. Chloe was not wrong. But let me tell you a little bit about the runner-up. They're gonna take home over $50,000 in cash and Azure grants. The first place winner, well, they're gonna take over $130,000 in cash and Azure grants, plus that mentoring session with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella.
Mm-hmm. Worth a lot more. Worth a lot more than that $30,000. Exactly. The suspense, Kate, is killing me. Please, give me the envelope. Okay. I've got it here. And the winner of the 2018 Imagine Cup World Championship is, from Canada, SmartArm! Talk. Woo! And congratulations to Team SmartArm on winning the title! Yeah. Once again, on behalf of myself and Microsoft, we want to thank the tens of thousands of students from around the globe that participated. We can't thank you enough for sharing your amazing ideas and innovations with us and the world. Keep on building those dreams, everyone.
Absolutely. And for all of you watching who have a dream or an idea, enter to compete in next year's competition at ImagineCup.com. Registration now open.
Today.
Dream it.
Build it.
Live it. Until next time, for Microsoft, our crew, my co-host Corey Sanders, I am Kate Yeager. Thanks so much for watching the Imagine Cup World Championship.
Hey!